You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Thursday to you. We appreciate you being with us. We're going to talk a lot of baseball today. Arkansas going to Arlington as we speak right now for this series this weekend, playing TCU, Kansas State, and Michigan at Globe Life Field. A little bit later in the show, we'll talk to Anthony Christensen about the Razorback basketball team losing to number one Auburn last night on the road. Tough loss again for John Calipari's team. But first, we got Bubba Carpenter back in studio. Bubba's getting his wisdom teeth cut out tomorrow. I was surprised when you were telling me this. You know, they say the older you get, the more it hurts when those things come out.
I appreciate that, Matt. Yeah, this is the calm before the storm. Everyone's got me worried. I wasn't really worried about it, but then the last week everyone told me that, oh my gosh, you haven't got them taken out yet. So, yeah, 9 a.m. tomorrow. So when you see me Monday, I'll probably be all swollen.
When you told me this, I was sitting here thinking, like, would I rather have lost my voice like I've got right now, or would I rather be getting my wisdom teeth out this weekend? I think it's kind of a six of one, half a dozen deal.
I'll trade you. I guarantee I'll trade you. You know what? When it comes to teeth, I'm such a wimp. When I go to the dentist and I hear that drill, I just like, ugh.
It kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies, right?
Yeah, so.
Well, good luck to you.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
You know, I was hoping we would talk today about Arkansas's rotation. We still don't have it as we're recording right now. Dave Van Horn, though, I think he did give a little bit of a hint yesterday as to how they're going to go. And we'll play the soundbite for you here in a minute, but we'll talk about it here first. He did say that, you know, when they pitched as well as everybody pitched last week, you probably just go with the guys that are more rested. That, to me, sounded like they probably would go with Gage Wood in Game 3 this weekend. Over Landon Beidelsees. We don't know yet. Maybe we'll know before the show's finished recording. But as I was thinking about it, you know, Beidelsees, he came from the Big Ten. Michigan's seen him before. They got a little bit of a book on him. And so I wonder if that might have gone into if that is, in fact, the route they go, if that was a consideration at all.
You know, I doubt that that had anything to do with it, but that was such a great point. I hadn't even thought about that until I walked in this morning and you said that. But that's a good point. They're going to have a good scouting report on them. But, you know, Matt, in today's game, we've got, with the exception of Washington State, we didn't know anything about Washington State. I mean, their pitchers, it was crazy to think, you know, it was like old school. You watch him warm up and say, okay, he's got a fastball, he's got a slider, he's got a change. In today's game, you know so much about everybody. The scouting reports are out there. So, you know, I don't think that had a whole lot to do with it. But, you know, who knows? Dave's got a plan, though.
Well, this is what Dave had to say whenever he was asked how they would attack this weekend from a starting pitching standpoint.
Three you send out there to start.
Yeah, I mean, if they're fortunate enough to get that far in the game, I would say 80, you know, maybe a little bit more, but not much. Yeah, they all did a great job of giving us five innings and, you know, makes it obviously difficult to figure out who not to start. But, you know, when you start really looking at it, you probably just go with the guys that have had the most rest.
You know, as we and you and I have talked about this some, Bubba, the fact that these starting pitchers also all four of them could be used as a relief guy. I mean, Gackle and Beidelsees and Wood in particular, they all have that in their past, in their track record. That makes the staff really unique. But I don't think you can go wrong putting Beidelsees or Wood in the bullpen. And as I thought about this, they don't have a Landon Beidelsees in the bullpen. Not to take anything away from Gage Wood, but they've got some hard-throwing right-handers in the bullpen. Beidelsees, if that's where he ends up pitching this weekend, That is a unique look that would be coming in relief.
I think so. And, you know, he's your guy that could do a little bit of everything, kind of like McIntyre's been in the past. You know, he could start, he can go long relief, or he could close. I mean, Beidelsees could do any of those roles for you. And the fact that, like you said, we've got two big righty arms at the back end of the bullpen already, you know, and then you got McIntyre, you got Dylan Carter. I mean, you've got who am I leaving out?
You're talking about from the right side?
Yeah, from the right
side. You got Carson Wiggins, yeah. You got Christian Fouts.
Well, those two were the exception. I was in addition to them, okay. You've got all these other guys. So it makes sense to have him in that role. And, you know, if someone, let's say someone struggles and has a bad start, you can bring Beidelsees in and he could go in the third inning and pitch to the seventh or eighth.
Mm-hmm.
So he can serve so many roles. But either way you do it, I think we're in good shape. It's a good problem to have.
You know, one of the determinations that had to be made here was, do you take that fourth starter and use him on the weekend in a relief role, or do you pitch him in a Tuesday game? And I think most coaches would say you put him on the weekend. But that is an interesting, you know, decision I think coaches have to make.
Right. I would not use Beetlejuice on a Tuesday night.
You might go undefeated on Tuesdays if you do.
You know, that would definitely boost your Tuesday schedule. Yeah. You know, if you wanted to use that as a day where he throws an inning, kind of like a bullpen day for him. But other than that, no, I would definitely save him for your weekend. And then, I mean, we've got so many guys. I mean, there's look at all the guys that could start on a Tuesday. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know about a Colin Fisher. You kind of want him on a weekend too.
That's my bet.
Yeah, could be. And then, you know, there's so many other options. So, like I said, I love the depth of the pitching staff, and then I like the good mixture of righties versus lefties. I mean, there's a lot of different looks we can throw at a team.
You know, so you got the purple people coming in this weekend, Kansas State, TCU. We know what happened the last couple of years with those teams coming in here through the regional. Van Horn got asked yesterday about, is there a revenge element this weekend playing these two teams? And as you would expect, he downplayed that. Do you think, though, within the locker room, the players who were on the team last year when they lost to K-State, or maybe the ones that are left over from 2 years ago when they lost to TCU, is that something that's being talked about at all this week?
I don't think so, Matt. I think the guys in the clubhouse, it's another game to them. They want to win every game. I don't think they're really looking at it. Now, when it comes to this postseason, if we play K-State in a postseason or TCU, then I think the revenge factor comes in. For me, playing them at Globe Life, no, and I don't think for the players either, but for the fans – I know I've talked to multiple fans like, oh, I hope we crush them. You know, let's give them payback. But I don't think the players, the coaching staff, to them, it's just they want to go out and win games.
Well, you know, I mean, the Razorback fans' memory is long.
Yes, it is.
I mean, you think about last year when they played Oregon State, it was all about let's get revenge for, mm-hmm. you know, 6 years earlier in Omaha. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And, you know, one of the other things is that there's so much roster turnover now. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Kansas State. They lost 17 players who started off of last year's team, whether it be their midweek guys, you know, some of their they had 17 guys who they lost who had been starters at least one time last year. Arkansas lost a lot of players from last year. These are two very different teams than what faced off in June.
Yeah, two completely different teams. And, you know, like I said, for our guys, it's just going out and playing baseball, really. Whoever their opponent is, they're trying to win that game. And, you know, I know it's a cliche, you know, you take it one day at a time, one game at a time. But that's kind of the way they approach things. And DVH is really good at instilling that into the players. But I will say if we play them, let's say they come back to Fayetteville this year in a regional, I think it'll be a little bit different. I think we'll view them differently. And, for me, it'll be a little bit more revenge then.
I was sitting around Tuesday night just kind of looking for something to do, and I saw that Kansas State was playing North Carolina. And I was like, I'm going to turn that on. And so I watched, you know, probably about 2.5-3 innings of that game. And I turned it on right at the point where the worm began to turn for Kansas State. They'd played really well over the first half of the game, but their bullpen couldn't hold a lead. I think they gave up like 8 runs in the last 3 North Carolina innings at the plate. And North Carolina ended up winning that game 12-9. Dave Van Horn, whenever I asked him about Kansas State yesterday, he mentioned that game and how the coaches were able to evaluate Kansas State in real time.
Well, obviously they're going on the road and playing some really good competition. You know, they lost a tough one last night. I had an opportunity to watch it live, as I think all the coaches did. And, you know, they played a few different people. And they swung the bats pretty good. So, you know, it's a different team than last year. A couple 3 starters back and a couple guys they filled in or guys that we knew about that were in the transfer portal. Other than that, just what we've seen, you know, they'll be scrappy, and you know, I feel like that they probably feel that they should have won last night's game, and you know, we'll be getting their best effort on Friday.
North Carolina ranked number 6 in the coaches poll, Arkansas number 5. So this is an elite team they're playing. Obviously, Tuesday night games are a little bit different. But you know, K-State, they have been tested.
Well, and, you know, they've put together a real good schedule. They got snubbed a couple years ago, didn't make postseason, put together a really good schedule last year. I think they've done the same thing this year. Next weekend, they go to the Frisco Classic. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they've made a conscious decision to really bolster their schedule, and it's worked out well for them. And like Dave said, they're a scrappy team, and we are going to get their best on Friday. But the thing is, you know, the style of play that they play, them plus TCU, we worked on that all fall because we're implementing more aggressive on the bases. You know, pitchers are going to be better at, I guess, adapting to that style of play because that's, you know, we did a whole lot of that in the fall, and it not only helped us offensively, but it helped us defensively.
You know, all three of these teams, you and I were talking about this last night, you just don't know a whole lot about them yet mm-hmm. because they've only played one weekend, you know, no different than what Arkansas's done. I mean, you got their record. Kansas State is 1-4. TCU's 4-0. Michigan's undefeated. They went down to Puerto Rico and they beat Virginia on opening day, which is a notable win, but that's not going to be the pitcher that Arkansas's facing right on a Sunday afternoon. I did look up the pitchers who, if they kept their rotation the same, these would be the pitchers that Arkansas faced this weekend. K-State threw a right-hander named Ty Rule last week in their opener against Washington. Went 1 2/3 innings, 3 runs, 2 earned, 1 hit, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. TCU, an interesting one, a right-hander named Tommy Lepore. He is a transfer from Wichita State, was last year's American Athletic Conference Newcomer of the Year on the mound. 6 scoreless innings, 6 hits, 5 strikeouts against San Diego last week. And then Michigan, a right-hander, David Lally Jr., 5 scoreless innings and 3 strikeouts against Villanova. Again, we don't know if that's who they're going to pitch. If they keep their rotations the same, that's who Arkansas most likely would face this weekend. Kind of interesting, 3 right-handers.
Yeah, and you really don't know. I read through all the fall reports and kind of the same thing you did. You sent me a lot of good stuff. You really don't know a lot about them this early in the year, and they might switch up their rotation. We don't, you know, I don't think they're like we are. We're set. I mean, we know our Friday, Saturday guy, and we've got a pretty good idea who's going to start on Sunday. But I think they might just kind of mix and match, you know, and see what they've got to do to pitch this Razorback lineup. Because, you know, for these guys, I mean, to beat us, I mean, that's good early on in the season for one of these teams.
You know, I said this the other day. Somebody asked me about these 3 teams. I said, I don't know a whole lot about them, but I do know a lot about their coaches.
Right.
You got Pete Hughes at Kansas State. You've got Kirk Sarlos at TCU. You've got Tracy Smith at Michigan. Used to be at Arizona State. Used to be at Indiana. These are 3 teams that I think are going to be really well coached. And, you know, for the most part, they're going to make you beat them. They're not right. going to beat themselves.
Well, and Michigan's real offensive. They're going to hit the ball. They're not going to give you a lot on defense. You know, TCU, they're going to put a lot of pressure on you. Once they get on base, they put a lot of pressure on you. Beauty of that is you can't steal first base. Our pitch staff's pretty good, so we're pretty good at keeping guys off of first base. K-State, kind of the same style. I mean, you know, they like to get on base, put a lot of pressure on the defense. And so I think we're going to be more prepared for that this year than we've been in the past. And so, I really like going into this weekend. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But, you know, I like what Dave said, you know, and he's politically correct about it, you know, giving Washington State props, but at the same time saying, well, the competition is going to be a little better this mm-hmm. weekend. And it is. We're going to see better pitching. You know, and a little bit better lineup, you know, not to take anything away from Washington State, but it is what it is.
Now, you're not going to be there this weekend. That would be kind of fun. You could see if your dentist would, like, come down and do the operation in the radio booth. Anything about that?
I don't know about
call
that.
Call the game with, yeah. like, all the gauze in your mouth, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if that'd be fun or not. I did it with hiccups last year. I don't know if I can suck it up enough to do it after the teeth getting cut out.
But you have been. You've been to Globe Life. You've called yeah. games down there. Just, I mean, and I've got my thoughts on this, but from your seat, for people who haven't been there, explain what that experience is like.
Well, it's nothing like a major league ballpark. whether you're sitting in the booth, calling a game or if you're out on the field. You know, I think about these guys, and I remember, Matt, the first time I stepped on a major league field, it was incredible. You know, just the feeling of being in a major league ballpark as a player is like no other. And then the crowds that we bring in, you know, God bless our Razorback fans that travel down there. And then everyone in that area that comes, I mean, we're looking at probably, 20,000 coming, I would say, when we play TCU for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a great feeling. Up in the booth, it's good too, because you're in a major league ballpark. It just something about it when you walk in is just a different feel. But I'm excited for the players to get a chance to play in that atmosphere. A lot of them down the road will get a chance, hopefully, but you know, some of them won't. But it'll be a lot of fun for them to step out on the field that first time.
The press box is the highest seat in the ballpark. I'm going to be giving my new binoculars a pretty good test this weekend.
Well, do you get excited? I mean,
oh yeah, no, I love covering the games there. Yeah. It's just such a neat experience. I will tell you, it's always a little bit jarring because it always seems like they play Grambling when they come back on that Tuesday night, and that's what they're going to do next week too. The vantage point of watching it from a bird's eye view and looking down, and then being back in the press box and watching it more, you know, straight line here in Fayetteville, that's always a little bit of an adjustment. But It's a really cool event.
Yeah, you know, and I love Baum Walker. Don't get me wrong, but when you go to Globe Life and then you come back to Baum Walker, it makes you really think, wow, I want to get back to the big leagues. You know, I want to be back in that ballpark. So I think
they're glad they're not in Baum Walker this weekend because I don't know they could play. about 5-6 inches of snow out there, and it's been packed in with – negative temperatures here the last few days.
I tell you what, I think the baseball gods were smiling down on us when they did this. 3 degrees. When I was driving out here this morning, my truck said 3 degrees.
That's three times as warm as it was when I got in my truck.
So yeah, it's a good time to be on the road in Globe Life. I just hope they can get there safely. Yeah. I mean, the roads here aren't very good. They haven't done a very good job of clearing the roads.
I'm supposed to drive down when I leave here. And I've been checking the RDOT cameras very rigorously. And it looks like the interstate is pretty clear. And it looks like the roads here between here and Dallas are drivable. But we'll see. You know, those are the roads that get the most attention.
Okay. What cameras?
RDOT.
I have no idea what
Arkansas
that is.
Department of Transportation. You know, the traffic cameras. You didn't know you go look at those?
I did not know that.
Yeah, you go on their website. You go into iDrive Arkansas, and then you can click on the different traffic cameras and see what it looks like, you know, at Frog Bayou or Mountainburg or Winslow or wherever.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You text that to me, I'll forget it.
Yeah. So this is what Dave Van Horn had to say about playing in Arlington. You know, Arkansas, this will be their fourth time in 5 seasons that they're going down there. They've already committed to going back next year. The Razorbacks are going to open the season at Globe Life next season. I asked Van Horn about, you know, why did you commit to this so early, and what has the experience been like? And this is what he had to say.
I think that it's because of the way the tournament's run. It's a lot. There's a lot. It's run really well. The players are treated well. The teams are good. Obviously, the food's incredible. The hotels are right there. You know, connect to the stadium, right across the street from the stadium. There's some things to do around the ballpark as far as restaurants. It's a really good setup. I mean, it starts with your practice on Thursday. I mean, you got a grounds crew that treats you good. You know, a lot of times you get to these pro parks, these grounds crews, they're a little fussy and they don't really like what's going on, and you're tearing up their field and all that type of stuff. And you don't get that feeling here. And I've been in a lot of tournaments over the years, and you, it's just a little bit different feel. And then the fact that it's so good for us because of the location, and five and a half hours south. We have a lot of alumni in the Metroplex area, and then a lot of our fans from Arkansas or this area like to get away, and they can drive if they wish, fly, whatever. It's it just makes sense, honestly.
And then I asked Dave Van Horn as well about playing on in front of these big crowds. You know, when they played TCU there 2 years ago, The attendance was 20,295, and that was the largest attendance in college baseball that year until the College World Series. Last year, they played Oklahoma State on a Saturday night that had 16,000-something as the attendance. And I asked him, what's it like playing in front of these big crowds? Does it ever get old? And what's it like for the newcomers who have not experienced that before?
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get old. I mean, that's pretty exciting when you think about it. First couple of weeks of the season, you get to play in front of 15,000 plus, maybe 20,000 plus. And, you know, it's something I think the players really enjoy. It gives them an opportunity to hear it, see it, just get the feel of what it's like to be in that type of atmosphere that's not your home park. And I think the experience that you gain from that, I don't see the, how it could not help you down the road.
Hey, we want to take and get the latest breaking news on all Razorback sports at wholehogsports.com. Most in-depth source for all Razorback sports analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. You can also find our podcast on Apple and Spotify. We've got a video version on YouTube, and we post the video version to our social media accounts at Twitter and Facebook each weekday. You can find all of those platforms to search Whole Hog Sports. When we come back, more Arkansas baseball discussion, but first a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Committed, professional, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass. For all your glass market needs with the highest quality products, you can come by and see them right now at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. Yesterday, Bubba was listening to the Inside Washington State Baseball podcast. You know, I listen to everything I can, trying to just see what people are saying, you know, if there's something about Arkansas. And we'll play the clip first, and then we'll talk about it. This is what Washington State coach Nathan Choate had to say about facing Arkansas starting pitching in Fayetteville.
And, you know, I'll be perfectly honest. I thought Arkansas's pitching staff, I've been doing this for over 20 years, I thought the first three arms and the guys that we saw in the first three games were as good of pitchers that I've seen in three games in my whole career. So, you know, you do have to give them some credit. You know, they had some bunch of guys throwing at 97, 98 with multiple pitches for strikes. I thought our guys were competing, but runs are going to be hard to come by.
So that's courtesy of the Washington State Learfield Network. Your thoughts?
He's not lying. But, I mean, that's a, you know, for a guy that's been coaching as long as he has, that's a huge compliment. I mean, it really is. And, but he's telling the truth. I mean, it's the starting pitching is really good. The whole staff. And, you know, I always joke with Hobbs. I'm like, Matt Hobbs, I'll say, man, that's just great coaching. but yeah, it's a team that you don't want to face, because it's not like you can look and say, boy, let's get past this Friday guy, you know, and look forward to Saturday. Or maybe we might mix up our rotation so we can get a Saturday win or a Sunday win. It doesn't get any easier after Friday night.
Yeah. I guess what made that so interesting to me is that sometimes coaches will think that, but they won't verbalize it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he was willing to say that about Arkansas was interesting to me.
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I like the fact that he's honest about it, you know, and transparent. And you know, I like guys that are like that. And he seems like that kind of guy. If he's thinking it, I think he's going to say it. And I think DVH is a lot like that. If there's something on Dave's mind, he's going to tell you.
So a couple of injury updates from Dave Van Horn yesterday. One was on Logan Maxwell. Been dealing with his hamstring injury for about 2 weeks now. Injured it running through first base right after he injured his shoulder, no less. And so Dave said they want to try to get him into the field at least once this weekend. He's a corner outfielder. maybe against TCU. We'll see. That's where he transferred from. You know, that game's going to mean a lot to him. Said that he is running. They were going to do some tests with him in practice yesterday. They're going to do some more testing with him in practice today just to see how that goes. But this is a very big piece of the puzzle when he's healthy, because I don't see him being a DH all year.
No, I don't either. You know, now the problem with starting out in the outfield in Globe Life Field is it's a big outfield. I mean, there's a lot of ground to cover out there, so it's going to be a good test for our outfield. I know, you know, there were a few blunders in the outfield. I don't know if you call them blunders or not. There was some
Dave Van Horn called outfield play average.
Average, yeah.
He said it was kind of average.
Okay, so if Dave says that, then it's okay for me to say it then. No, there were just some – I thought there were a few routes that weren't – they were banana routes is what I call them, not direct routes to the ball. But you got to think, we had guys out there. You look at Davlon in center, you know, he hadn't played a lot with that wind blowing across like that. That crosswind's tough in ball marker. You see teams come in all the time and outfielders struggle. Where you think the ball's going to be – and where it actually ends up are two different things, you know, and you just have to know the difference. If a lefty hits that ball to the left center gap, it's going to slice on you. You got to beat it to that spot, because if you try to drift with it, you're not going to catch up to it. Righties, on the flip side of it, anything right center gap with that crosswind is going to knock down, so you've got to take a good angle in. And so I think that's a big part of it. But I got sidetracked on your question with Maxwell. I'm looking forward to seeing him in the outfield, and you know, then that would probably obviously move Kendall to DH. And you know, Kendall's done a good job in the outfield. I love that play he made. That was the hardest hit ball of the weekend by Washington State. I want to say the catcher hit it like 104, 105 off the bat, that line drive, and it backspun through the wind. So Kendall did a good job on that.
Also, Hunter Dietz. We had a lot of people ask about Hunter Dietz and what's going on with him. You know, at one point, I think mid-December, I talked to Corey Wood and I wrote a story about it. And at that point in time, it was like Fisher's rehab and Aiden Jimenez's rehab and Dietz's rehab had all kind of, you know, like they were almost perfectly in sync, you know, starting to throw to live hitters around the same time and whatnot. Fisher, he's obviously ready to play. Jimenez, he did play. Dietz isn't quite there yet. Van Horn said that they want to see him, I think he said, let it rip on the mound. The velocity is still not quite what they want to see.
Well, obviously they can track all that, so they know exactly where they want him to be. And if his numbers aren't there, you know, they can see it with their eyes, but it helps to have all the data behind it to say, okay, he's not quite there yet for whatever reason, whether it's physical or whether it's mental. A lot of times it's mental. A guy's just a little bit hesitant to cut it loose, and that could be a big part of it. Hopefully it's not a physical thing, but there's no need to rush him right now. I'd rather have him healthy in a few weeks when we get into SEC play.
So that's the update on Hunter Dietz right now. We'll see where he is here in a week or so. One of the really interesting things to me, and I asked this question yesterday, but it was based on something Van Horn said in passing the other day. You know, he's talking about Cam Kozel and getting Kozel on the field, and you know, Nolan Souza's in front of him at second base. We think Nolan's a better defender than Kozel is. I don't know that it's a huge drop off, but Souza is a better defensive option up the middle. And second base is one of those positions where it always feels like defense is going to dictate who plays there for the most part. So Van Horn's comment was, well, you know, maybe we get Kozel in the field, in the outfield, or maybe we get him at first base, or maybe we get him at catcher. And so I asked Dave yesterday, I said, you know, were you joking about him playing catcher? And this is what he had to say about a potential position change for Cam Kozel down the line.
You know, you started talking outfield, probably do that. And, yeah, I've talked to Cam a couple of times. I think the latest was last week about, you know, catching, that something he might want to try because he's a left-handed hitter and he's very strong and physical. You saw what happened when the big boy ran into him the other day. It didn't even faze him. And, you know, he it's you never know. You know, we've had some infielders here that have become catchers and did pretty good job. And obviously Tom Pagnozzi's the first one you mentioned. And then Jimmy Kramer's a long time ago in like 1985 was a third baseman out of Little Rock and hit left-handed. And, you know, there was things going on there, putting behind the plate. He made it to the big leagues as a catcher. And so, you know, you never know, you know, just looking in at body styles and attitude and their makeup and toughness, and you can see a little bit of traits of a catcher and, you know, whatever. But he's a good ball player and he cares about the team, wants the team to win. Even when he's not playing, he's standing right up there getting after it and cheering his teammates on, and I really appreciate that.
So he mentioned Jimmy Kramer, he's mentioned Tom Pagnozzi. Pags obviously won 3 gold gloves with the Cardinals playing catcher. Both of those moves were made by Norm DeBrien, and I was always told Norm was really good at evaluating catchers. And, you know, just seeing certain characteristics in a player, maybe when he's taking a ground ball in the infield, like, you know, maybe the way he moves his hips and how that might translate to behind the plate. So, I mean, you do this some. Obviously, you coach. As a coach, what are you looking for in a player that tells you whether or not he can play that position?
First of all, it's, you know, Dave said it, it's the makeup of the player. You've got to have a certain mindset, a certain toughness to go back behind the plate and be a catcher. And Cam has that. I mean, he's, you know, he seems like to me he's that tough, gritty player that could play anywhere. The other thing is, you know, I remember Kramer's. When I came in, Kramer's was a catcher. He was a junior, I believe, my freshman year. And the guy was a stud. I mean, he was really good behind the plate, and I totally forgot that he was converted third baseman. But he's got that strong lower half, the strong butt, strong lower half, and you see that in Cam, real strong. But the main thing is the toughness, the way he throws the ball. A lot of the times can tell you, you know, certain guys have that short release. Some guys are really long on their backside. So I think all those coming together, you could see Cam being really good behind the plate, and that would give us a left-handed hitting catcher, you know, which might be a strong addition to
it. And why is that important?
Well, you just, you know, we've got two right-handed – well, you know, you look at Becker right now and Ryder, they were both right-handed hitters. It's good to have another third option back there, you know. And it may not happen this year. It might be something that would be more next year. He could build towards it. And you know, obviously, you're not going to throw him behind the plate, and he's ready to go. I don't know if he's ever caught in his life.
Yeah.
But I do like his mentality and his mindset, and just the way he plays the game goes a long way for me.
Pretty interesting.
It really is. And, you know, I remember when Dave said it in the press conference, the first time he said it, I thought, and Dave doesn't just say stuff to say it. If he says it, there's a meaning behind it. And I think everyone that knows Dave knows that. And when he said that, I thought, wow, that's a great idea right there to get him some experience behind the plate. And Bobby Wernis does a great job working with catchers. So, you know, it's a perfect combination.
I wonder if Kozel might end up at first base before the season's over.
Possibly. I think he can play. The way the game is, guys get hurt. Unfortunately, guys get hurt. And you get into SEC play, it's a grind. Guys get hurt, whether it's a hamstring, get hit by a pitch. Something always happens. You look at Kendall Diggs last year. You know, things happen throughout the season. He is going to end up in the lineup somewhere. It's just a matter of where. I just think he's a valuable guy. I love the way he swings it. He's got a little thump from the left side of the plate. Loves the way he attacks the ball in defense. I love the play at second base. And now I never saw a replay of it, but it looked like to me he came in and not really initiate – well, okay, he kind of initiated contact with the runner on that play. And most second basemen don't do that. They'll lay back. Instinctually, they'll lay back, let the guy get by him. He didn't. He attacked that ball and kind of initiated a little bit of contact, I thought, with his glove. But, you know, whether he did or he didn't, there was contact, got the call, which is huge.
Van Horn was asked about that play yesterday. He said that they teach their second baseman – that's your lane to go get the ball, and you've got to be kind of authoritative going and getting it.
Well, But a lot of guys don't, even though that's the right play. You'll see it in the SEC this year. You'll see a second baseman at some point come up, hesitate just enough to let that runner get by, where all they got to do is touch him, just graze him, and then do the Mahomes flop and end up on the ground, and you get the call right there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to go there. That's for my buddy Ryan Fox. I hope he's listening.
But, I mean, so I guess it goes to show it's good coaching. And not just good coaching, but listening to the coaching that you're taking.
Yeah, I promise you. So if you go out and you watch these guys, they work on everything. I remember when Robert Moore was here. I used to love watching Robert Moore work on every possible play you would make, Matt. He would work on plays to his left. That deep play where you're in the shift way back in shallow right field, he worked on that play where you'd go kind of behind first base, catch the ball, and make that turn and throw it to first. I mean, the infielders are so well prepared, and I think that's what makes DVH different is you watch other coaches. How many head coaches do you see actually out there working with the position players? There's not a lot of them.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Concerns after 1 week of play, stuff that you want to see better this weekend?
Okay, so I played a little bit of first base, mostly played outfield. You know, when I got into pro ball, mostly outfield. I still played a little bit of first, but mostly center and right. I want to see our outfielders a little more aggressive going to the ball. I love Davalon. I don't want to attack him. And once again, I think it's making the adjustment to the wind at ball marker, because I don't know. There's not another ballpark that has that crosswind like that, I don't think. But I think he needs to be more aggressive. If you're going to be a center fielder in the SEC, you got to be more aggressive out there, and you've got to take charge and come and make some of those plays. I thought he was a little tentative, you know, first weekend out, but I think that's something that, you know, I'm sure they'll talk about it, they'll address it, and then move on from there. And then if not, then you've got Justin Thomas who could slide over to center. Mm-hmm. Davalon could move to left. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. So that's not really a concern, because I know they're going to get it fixed, and I know the guys are capable of doing it. I know Davalon's – he's gritty. You watch the way he plays, and he's a hard-nosed guy. So he's not the kind of guy that'd be tentative on a ball in center field.
And I don't know how good Washington State is. I don't know that Arkansas maybe has faced a team yet that's going to expose some stuff about itself. I think TCU is a really interesting matchup on Saturday night.
Yeah.
That can, because we saw this a couple of years ago. They laid the hammer to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Down in Arlington, 18-6, and that was a game that I think the coaches, you know, while you hate it in the moment, they probably kind of appreciated it because it helped them get better for SEC play.
Okay, but that was like a perfect storm. Remember, that's when they implemented the pitch clock.
Yes.
So we were dealing with the pitch clock, and plus we were dealing with an aggressive team that got that momentum lead. And I think you combine the two of those together, and we just weren't ready for it. And I think since then we've done a lot better job. But a team like that, they can put some pressure on you, and they can get you rattled just a little bit if you let it. But I don't think it's going to happen this year, because, like I said, our pitchers have worked on that all year.
And on the flip side, Arkansas could expose some stuff about other teams too.
Absolutely, and I think you saw it this weekend. You saw some Washington State pitchers rush. They kind of hurry their delivery. Their arm was late. They left the ball up in the zone. It either flattened out and we hit it, or it led to a walk. Just the fact that they're trying, because I get a time on every pitcher when I'm in the booth. It's just a habit. And runner gets on first base. They try to speed it up a little bit. Next thing you know, they're walking the next guy.
Don't forget your saltwater syringe.
Saltwater syringe.
That's very important in the wisdom tooth extraction process.
Maybe you should try some of that saltwater on your throat.
I need something. Maybe going down to Texas will help me, going into a different climate.
It might help. 3 degrees or -3, whatever. That's not good for you.
Yeah, this
voice
is rough. Hey, appreciate you being here. Good luck tomorrow, and we'll see you on Monday.
That sounds good. Go Hogs.
All right, Bubba Carpenter. When we come back, Anthony Christensen is going to join me. We'll talk Arkansas-Auburn basketball. But first, a word from our sponsors.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design, with individual attention to specific areas.
Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Another close loss for Arkansas basketball last night at Auburn, 67-60. Arkansas had its chances to pull off a big upset on the road, but the Tigers made the plays they needed to make down the stretch. Arkansas now 15-11 overall, 4-9 in the SEC, just 5 regular season games to go. You know, I know a lot of people are talking about Arkansas, that they're the last 4 in, they're the last 4 out, whatever. I feel like this team's tournament chances really took a big hit this last week. They had a chance to go win at A&M. They had a chance to go win at Auburn. Couldn't pull off a win at either of those spots. And now they kind of – I feel like they got to be almost perfect the rest of the way. Doesn't mean they got to win every game, but they got to win just about every game down the stretch. Anthony Christensen joins us. He was at the game last night in Auburn. Anthony, just what did you see that happened down the stretch that cost Arkansas?
Yeah, you know, I think Arkansas got the performance from Auburn it needed, right? Like, that was not a vintage shooting performance for Auburn. It was, you know, kind of ugly in stretches. Arkansas forced turnovers and everything along those lines. It's just there were just some simple mistakes that Arkansas made down the stretch, some turnovers that, you know, were unforced. There were, you know, missed rebounds. I think this wasn't like there at the end of the game in that stretch, but Trevin Brazil accidentally tipped in a rebound for Auburn. So, I mean, those things add up. They missed, I think, 7 of their 14 free throws. So, I mean, in a 7-point game, that's obviously quite big. So I think it's just, it was a lot of little things that added up. Obviously, I think it was 3 of 19. They finished from 3. So they also didn't have a shooting night that is going to win you a ton of games. And that all just kind of added up. But defensively, I thought Arkansas did what it needed to do to have a chance. I mean, there's not many teams that are going to hold Auburn to fewer than 70 points. And, I mean, if you do that, you're probably going to feel like you've got yourself a chance to win. But that Auburn team, I mean, they know how to win. You've seen that throughout the season to this point, and you saw it again yesterday. So it was certainly a tough result because it was right there. They could have gotten it, and that's the win that kind of, or probably would lift you above the bubble, that cut line. But now they're still kind of in search of that win, and they've got, you know, a red hot Mizzou team coming in on Saturday, and you know it's a tough road for sure.
You know, and that's the thing. I think a lot of people think that you get home and things are going to magically be fixed. And that may not be the case because Missouri took Arkansas to the woodshed up there in Columbia back a few weeks ago. And now here comes in Missouri. And maybe they're overconfident, but they just beat Alabama. And they beat them pretty soundly last night. So this is a really tough road that Arkansas has to go down. You know, Zvonimir Visic, 0 points last night, missed all 10 of his field goal attempts, didn't get to the free throw line. 9 of his attempts were three-pointers, and, you know, hey, I mean, I know he's going to shoot his threes during the games, but I thought that last three that he took where, I don't know if it's a three-point game or a five-point game, just a really ill-advised three-pointer, and was kind of maybe a snapshot of how poorly that night went for him.
Yeah, and John Calipari mentioned that in the game, or in the press conference too. Like, you don't need a three there. Go in, get a quick two, because it was a 5-point game at that stage. You can cut it down to a 3-point game, and yeah, I thought he kind of settled at times just to take those 3-pointers. And when the shot isn't falling, sometimes it just isn't falling. And unfortunately for him, that was one of those nights. I mean, He got some rebounds, got some blocks, obviously got the technical foul for taunting after one of the blocks, which, yeah, again, in a close game like that, you can't really have it. But there was also, I mean, there was some missed rebounds he had, too, that ended up with Auburn getting some second chance opportunities and some things like that. So it certainly wasn't a banner night for Zvonimir Visic. He, I mean, if you're going to live with any of your guys missing those threes, maybe it's him, just because throughout, you know, recent games especially, you know, he's been, you know, the go-to threat for three-pointers. So if there's anybody you want taking them, maybe besides Jonell Davis, I think that's going to be him. But when the shot isn't falling, you got to find another way around, another way to get your points. And just for whatever reason, it just didn't work out for him in that game. And yeah, like I said, some of those shots I felt were pretty ill-advised. And yeah, obviously, he had a couple air balls. You know, just not a great performance. Especially, I mean, I don't want to single him out, but I mean, Arkansas, if I remember correctly, and I'm sitting pulled over on the side of the road talking, so I don't have the stats in front of me. But if I remember correctly, Arkansas didn't get any points out of its three big men. So, I mean, unless you want to count the -2 for Trevor Brazil for scoring for Auburn. So it's tough when you don't have that front court production to beat a team that is as good in the front court as Auburn. And, that obviously certainly didn't help things.
You know, one of the big issues, problems, frustrations I have with this year's team is that there are – it typically happens at least once, and sometimes it happens two or three times a game where they just disappear offensively for several minutes at a time. And it happened two times in last night's game, or at least two times that stand out to me. First one, Arkansas was up 21-17, and then I think they only scored 2 points for 5-plus minutes – and allowed Auburn to take control of the game. And then the other one is at the end of the game. Arkansas goes up on, I think, a layup by Nellie Davis, and then they don't hit a shot for the final 3 minutes and 6 seconds of the game. These scoring lapses are highly frustrating with this team, and I think that's the difference between a good team like Auburn and a team like Arkansas, which I think is maybe just kind of an average team, is that the good teams, they don't have these scoring lapses, or if they do, it's just every now and then. With Arkansas, it's almost like you can count on this happening multiple times a game, Anthony.
Yeah, and you mentioned that stretch in which Arkansas was up 21-17, I believe it was. During that part of the game, Arkansas held Auburn to a 1-of-10 shooting stretch. So Arkansas had the opportunity there to build a lead and give itself a chance, especially kind of heading closer and closer to halftime, to give itself, you know, a lead that, you know, maybe have going into the break or something along those lines, and just didn't take advantage of the good defense it was playing. So that's probably, if you're an Arkansas fan, I think that's probably the most frustrating part of the game, because that's, you're playing, you know, really good defense. Some of the best defense, you know, relative to the competition that you've played all season, but the offense just isn't up to the same standard in that period of the game. So that defense, I don't want to say it goes to waste, but it's not taken advantage of. You're not building that lead that can give you the chance that you need to beat a number one team on the road. So that's a big thing. And you have seen that kind of throughout the season. They always seem to be kind of good for a good drought, I guess, is the right way to put it. It always seems like they'll always have, you know, at least one stretch in which, you know, maybe they don't score for 3 minutes, or their only points are coming at the free throw line, or whatever it may be. And I mean, that's cost them some games. I think it cost them yesterday, like you mentioned. I think it cost them against, you know, Oklahoma, and the road game against LSU, and maybe Florida, Ole Miss, you know, whoever you want to say. So I mean, a lot of those stretches are the difference between Arkansas, you know, being on the bubble and kind of, but right now looking like it's going to be sweating on Selection Sunday, versus, you know, being kind of safely in that tournament field. If you flip even just, you know, maybe one or two of those results, especially if it's, you know, Auburn or Texas A&M or, you know, teams like that, Florida. So I think that it's certainly one of the big things that you look at with the team and why it struggled so far this season. And I think looking at it going into the season, I think maybe they anticipated some stretches where the offense wasn't going to be as strong as the defense. I think I remember John Calipari saying that the roster is built to be a defensive team. So, I mean, that's all well and good, but you still need to score points. And that's, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm being too critical, but, you know, you need to avoid those kinds of stretches because those lose you games and, you know, may ultimately keep you out of the field.
One of the other things I think for Arkansas, as it stands right now, they're not going to be able to avoid that Wednesday first round game at the SEC tournament. And, you know, in addition to winning some games here at the end of the regular season, I feel like they're going to have a strong push in Nashville, get themselves to the weekend to maybe feel even, you know, remotely good about their chances. And again, that just depends on what happens here at the end of the regular season. We talked about Jahni Broome yesterday and the National Player of the Year potential that he has. I mean, I thought he showed really well yesterday, 16 points, 13 rebounds. And I'll tell you, Anthony, it wasn't even a play on the floor. Something he did that stood out to me that really shows his leadership on that team is when Chad Baker-Mazzara gets his technical foul for turning around and taunting Arkansas's bench, which felt like it was inevitable with Baker-Mazzara. It seems like it's an every game deal with him. It wasn't Bruce Pearl. It wasn't anybody on the bench that got on him. It was Jahni Broome who got on his butt at midcourt. And to me, that showed a lot about Jahni Broome.
Yeah, no, and it's such a, you know, I've got the privilege of having a vote at the end of the season for, you know, the AP National Player of the Year and All-American teams. And I'm still, like, it's a minute-by-minute change in my head on who I'm going to vote for between Cooper Flagg and Jahni Broome. Right now, I probably give the edge to Jahni Broome, but I mean, it's so close, man. It's so close, and I mean, I didn't even think Jahni Broome like had a banner night by his standards either, and he still finished with the double double and shot, I think, right around 50% from the field, maybe 45-ish. Like I said, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I mean that pass he made in the first half for his assist and that 3-pointer was, oh my goodness. It was a spiritual experience to see that in person. But it goes beyond, you know, the box score. I mean, what he is for that team. Like, I know he missed some time with an injury, and everybody was kind of like, okay, what's Auburn going to be without Jahni Broome on the floor? You know, obviously Auburn still won its games and was very impressive, but, you know, he's still there, you know, providing that leadership that you mentioned. And I mean, he's, you know, just a kind of an ever-present, I guess, figure for him. And, I mean, he just affects everything in so many different ways on both sides of the floor. I mean, he's just the quintessential modern – I mean, maybe not modern in the sense of, you know, he's going to step out and hit you a bunch of threes or stuff like that. But, like, a lot of college basketball, especially men's college basketball in recent years, has been built around, you know, really solid big men. I mean, Zach Edey, back-to-back National Player of the Year campaigns. You look at the back-to-back UConn National Championship teams. Donovan Klingon last season and Adama Sanogo before him. I mean, if you have a dominant big man like those guys, like Jahni Broome, I mean, you're gonna give yourself a phenomenal chance to do something special. And with him, I mean, it extends off the floor. I mean, it extends to both sides of the floor. I mean, it's just he's so impressive just in every metric. And I mean, yeah, like I said, yesterday wasn't even at, like, him at his best, and he was still, you know, a double double and pretty efficient and made some defensive plays too. So I mean, he's what you want, I think. So and Bruce Pearl has done a great job utilizing him and getting the most out of him. And I feel like I've been long-winded on this answer, so I'll shut up. But you know, he's been phenomenal.
Arkansas, quick turnaround, going to play Missouri on Saturday, 7 o'clock tip off at Bud Walton Arena, and then they play Texas at Bud Walton the following Wednesday. So continue this two on the road, two at home, two on the road, two at home trend. Razorbacks with a couple of rematches here in the next week. Lost to Missouri at Missouri, one at Texas. And they certainly need these two wins here in the next week. Anthony, we appreciate you being with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Anthony Christensen. You can read more of his work at wholehogsports.com. We hope we see you at our website throughout the day. We'll have plenty of coverage there. Whenever we find out who Arkansas's starting pitchers are going to be this weekend, we'll have some information on that, plus some information on the other teams as we can find that as well. Obviously, more basketball coverage throughout the day. And we'll be back with another podcast tomorrow. Ethan Westerman is going to sit in the chair tomorrow and host the podcast. I hope that I'll be on from Dallas. I'm going to head down to Arlington this evening for Arkansas baseball tomorrow against Kansas State. We appreciate you being with us. Have a great day, everyone.